Well, thanks, Mark. I think you were talking about my dad, though, about being full of wisdom and all that. I don't always feel that way. A little plug there for praying for the Bible Club in Trowbridge. Bonnie thought she was doing quite well. She had 50 beautiful crafts lined up, and we've got 49 kids signed up already, and a few of the regular ones haven't even talked about coming yet, and they probably will yet, so it's going to be a busy one. Had to turn some kids away from further away already, so just keep that in mind. If you think about it this week from time to time, pray for these kids. I'm sure it makes quite an impact in their life. They come out year after year, and quite a few of them, when they're done, when they get too old, they want to come back as helpers for a few years, so it does reach them, and let's keep praying for that this week. I was asked to speak on hospitality. There's quite a bit of it in Scripture. I'm just going to touch the surface probably this evening, but just have a few ideas about it, a few things that we looked up. First thing I did was look it up in Webster Dictionary. And of course, Webster being helpful, it said it's the hospitable treatment or reception of guests. So, well, then I looked up hospitable, and this is the way they put it. It's a generous, friendly, warm reception of guests, or, yeah, there was some other stuff with it. Of course, there's the commercial side of it. If you talk about hospitality industry, it's become quite an industry with hotels and restaurants and drinking establishments and everything that goes along with it. Of course, that's not what we're talking about this evening. Interesting, if we think of the Dutch word for it, it's gastvrijheid, which means that you give guests the total freedom, right? You tell them, well, come in and make yourself at home. So it fits in quite well. Now, if you look up the word that is used in our biblical hospitality, which is, well, I'm not sure if there's two different things, but if you look up the root of the word, it's the love towards strangers. So that's quite something, love of or towards strangers. And that's the way it was quite often portrayed in the Old Testament. You remember in Deuteronomy, the children of Israel were told to love the strangers that were in their midst. And to remember that they also, at one time, were strangers in Egypt. So that fits in quite well with the other definitions and with the other things. So, first I'd like to mention what it is not. At least, the way I see it, it is not a spiritual gift per se. You know, and what I mean by that is certain people have gotten certain gifts to serve the greater Christian community and the body of Christ, to build it up, to comfort it, to help it along. And I don't believe hospitality is one of those, although it's very closely connected with it. We read it quite often, very close to the list of gifts that are being mentioned. There's several places where the gifts are mentioned and hospitality is mentioned fairly close to them. But I see it more the way love is mentioned in Scripture. Love itself, love toward our neighbors, love toward other believers, it's not a specific gift either. Or if it is, it's something that is given to all believers. But it's a commandment. You remember when Jesus, just before he went to the cross, he told his disciples, he said, I'm going to give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Before that, in the Old Testament, they had to love their neighbor as themselves. Now, it was as though he upped it one notch. And he says, okay, now I want you to love your neighbor the way I have loved you. Right? And that wasn't just for certain people in the Christian community or in the body of Christ. That was for everybody. As a matter of fact, he says, this is how people are going to recognize you, wherever you are, as believers, by the love that you have one for another. You know, and that is not, it's not an option, it's not a suggestion. It was a command. He told us to do that. So, and it's the same with hospitality. Whatever you read about it, it is something we are told to do. You know, and it is not just to a specific group. It is not just Maybe this one has the gift of hospitality, that one don't, so he doesn't have to do it. It's something that is asked of each one of us. Now, I realize it is very closely connected with some of the spiritual gifts that are mentioned. For instance, there is the gift of giving, right? Now, if somebody has received the gift of giving to others, maybe the hospitality and the taking in strangers or inviting people over or opening your home to certain people is going to come a little easier than to others. But that doesn't mean the rest of them aren't asked to do it. The same with the gift of service, the gift of serving others. Again, if you have that gift, I think hospitality will come a lot more natural and easy to you maybe. But it doesn't mean that the other ones shouldn't be doing it. And again, in Leviticus, I've noticed that already, you know, like Leviticus 19. It tells us how God loves a stranger, and we should love them too. And then again, he mentioned that the reasoning behind it was that they too had been strangers at one time. And we often think of Egypt as a place of slavery, a place of persecution. But initially, it wasn't like that, right? There was a famine in the land. They were starving to death, literally. And Pharaoh willingly took them in. As a matter of fact, he said to Joseph, well, you know, give them the best part of the land. You know, nothing but the best. They're our guests. And they had everything that they needed. And later on, of course, a different Pharaoh arose. And you know the story. Things went south. But initially, they were received and welcomed as strangers. And it very likely saved their lives from that famine. It was God's way of preserving his people. And God looks back at that. He says, now look at when you first came into Egypt, the way they received you. That's the way I want you to treat other strangers in their hour of need. And so that's the way it was portrayed in the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Let's turn to Romans, Romans 12. And we'll start reading at verse 13. And by the way, this is, I think, the only place where the root word for hospitality is used in the Bible. It's mentioned a couple of times. If you have the King James, it's mentioned in 1 Timothy and Titus, where it talks about elders. But in reality, they use a different word there in the original, and it means very much the same thing. It means to be hospitable. But the word hospitality, this is the only place where they use the proper word. I'm going to start reading at verse 12. He's been talking about the gifts here, all the different things, you know, and how you were to do your gifts, like your exhortation and exhortation. You give with liberality, leads with diligence, shows mercy with cheerfulness. And then he starts into the general area. It says, let love be without hypocrisy, verse 9, I guess. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. And again, these are not gifts. These are required from each one of us. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. And these are things, you know, that are supposed to mark the believer, the true believer. Okay, and then distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. It's quite a statement there, given to hospitality. The literal meaning there is that we are to eagerly pursue it, that we eagerly to look for opportunities to be hospitable to others. And I know that can take many different forms. I'm not talking here just taking a person home for dinner on Sunday. You know, there's all kinds of things during the week where you could reach out to your neighbors or others, you know, provide a place to stay, provide a meal for them, help them on their way if they need something. There's many different forms it can take. You know, so we're to watch, to pray, and to love. 1 Peter 4, verse 9, you get the same idea. And it's amazing how the same words come there. Like in Romans here, we had the affection at first on love, right? Brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. And then what follows behind is that we're to pursue hospitality. 1 Peter 4, verse 9. And here it's talking how the Christian is to behave, you know, in suffering and as we follow the Lord and as things get hard. But it says, again, verse 8 there, first of all, above all things, have fervent love one for another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. And then verse 9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling, without complaining about it, without murmuring. It shouldn't be a burden. It shouldn't be something that we do grudgingly. It's like the way the Lord describes giving in another portion, that we're to be a cheerful giver. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. Well, he also loves a person who can, you know, be hospitable to share with others without grumbling, without complaining about it. It shouldn't be a burden. And if it is, you know, then we look at it in totally the wrong way. It shouldn't be a hard, grinding task. And okay, you know, you told us to do it. Well, okay, we're going to do it, but we're not going to like it. You know, that's not the way it should be done. It should be a joy to us to share things with the family of faith especially, but also with others. You know, it's a great way. How else are they going to know we're different? How else are they going to know that we're believers, that we do it because we love God and that we love one another because he first loved us, right? That's what the Bible tells us. We can love because he first loved us. It's not in us by nature to have that kind of an attitude and love toward each other. Hebrews 13, verse 2, we get the same idea. It says, do not forget. Okay, first of all, verse 1 there, let brotherly love continue. So again, the love comes first. And then it says, do not forget to entertain strangers. For by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. And of course, he's looking back to Abraham, where Abraham had these three men, these three visitors that came. And he gave them a meal and he treated them royally. You know, and at the time, I'm sure when they pulled in, he didn't realize that it was the Lord himself and two angels that he was entertaining. But he did it. He did the same that he would have for anybody else passing by. And I know he sets the bar kind of high there. And I know it's the first time, one of the first times we read about it. I don't know about you. I haven't got too many fatted calves kicking around that I could butcher when I got a visitor coming unexpectedly. Got a freezer, though. Got a few chunks of it in there. But, you know, he pulled out all the stops, right? He killed the fatted calf. You know, and if you see the amount of, I looked it up the other day. If you see the amount of flour that he told his wife to get ready and make loaves of, he could have fed quite a crowd with that. You know, like three measures. I think we're talking in the line of bushels, you know. Like, that's a lot of meal. That's a lot of bread. But, you know, he did it because he wanted to share what he had. And he didn't want to be stingy doing it. And so I'm not saying that, you know, like that's the way we should do it. But that should be our attitude in it anyway. In Luke 14, the Lord himself talks about this. And here he was invited for a meal. And then as he is talking, Luke 14 and 12. Then he also said to him, he's talking to his host now, to them who invited him, when you give a dinner or supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid in the resurrection of the just. Another place, the Lord Jesus mentioned that even if he gave somebody a cup of cold water in his name, we would receive a blessing. And I think that the whole reason behind this is, you know, hospitality, it's supposed to be about sharing. It's supposed to be about giving. And if we do it just so we can get some back, it's not really giving, is it? You're sort of horse trading things around. It's not really, really giving. Now, that doesn't mean we can never have our friends over. Of course not. It doesn't mean we can never invite our relatives or our neighbors or somebody that we know is going to invite us back. But that shouldn't be the reason for doing it. Right? It should be done freely and willingly and given as to the Lord. You know, in the end, the Lord talks about the final judgment and those standing before him on the left and the right. And I realize a lot of people look at that and they say it's the judgment of the nations. And maybe that's in there too. But what's in there too, though, is our attitude toward our fellow believers and to those around us. And Jesus says, well, if you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. And that's the way it should be done, as unto the Lord. You know, as though it was the Lord himself that needed a home. I think each one of us, if we knew Jesus was coming to town and he needed a place to stay, we'd be the first to offer him a meal, to offer him bedroom, whatever he needed. Anything for you, Lord, nothing but the best. Well, guess what? Jesus said, if you did it to the least of one of these, you did it unto me. But also, if you did not do it to the least of one of these, you did not do it unto me. So, as we have an opportunity that comes along and we feel this little nudge inside that we really should be doing this, you know, and we turn our back on it. It's almost like turning the back on the Lord Jesus himself. And that's not me saying it. That's him saying it. So, you know, I'll stop there. But in Luke 6:33, you have the same idea there. You know, that it should be done without any thought of getting a return out of it. It says, if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. Right? You get the idea. It shouldn't be with the idea of return. It should be the idea of showing love to our neighbors, to those of the Lord's family that come across our path that are in need of something. You know, and it is something that seems so simple, and yet in practice, you know, it's sometimes so hard to do. Because I don't know about you, but I still have the old nature, and you still tend to look out for yourself a bit, and you still tend to, you know, man, it's a lot of work, or it's inconvenient, or whatever. You know, how does this look in practice? Well, tell you what. A number of years ago, our Dutch relatives discovered that Canada was a really neat place to visit. You know, you'd get this call from my dad. Well, guess what? The Dutchmen are coming. You know, I think, oh, shoot. You know, now I gotta clean the garden. I got to make sure the lawn is trimmed. I got to make sure the house is spotless. And they're going to want to go to the Niagara Falls. And I've been there 3 times already this year. And, you know, all the stuff that goes with it. Now, part of it was that they were Dutch, right? And they discovered if they went to family, they got a really neat holiday. And it didn't cost them a penny. You know, so one year, one summer, we had 26 of them in one summer. Like, that's a lot of company. Especially if they come for a month at a time. And a lot of them are 6 weeks. You know, and you get this phone call, and you sort of dread it. You think, oh, man, not again. You know, we've had so many already. And yet, you know, that was totally the wrong attitude. You know, a welcoming spirit would have been much more fitting than a clean house, right? You know what I'm saying? Usually when they came, and once you got over the shock of it, and we had fun. We had a ball together, you know. We went places together. I mean, they had fun, but so did we. And usually it was a very, very good time. And from all the people that have come over the years, I can only think of one or two that you think, man, be all right if they didn't come back. But you know what I mean? There was a blessing in having them over. You know, I remember for my parents' 50th, we had 2 couples, 2 aunts and uncles staying at our place, you know. And then there were some others, the rest of the family. But, you know, we had a ball. You know, we had trouble keeping up to them, and they were my parents' generation. You know, they really enjoyed it, and they talked about it for years and years, but so did we. There was a real blessing in doing it. There was a real blessing in serving that way, even right here and now. And the real blessing is still to come, isn't it? That's what the Lord has promised us. If we did it as unto him, we would receive a reward for it. So, you know, in the Bible too, we can see a little picture of that, right? You read the story about Martha and Mary. They invited Jesus and the disciples over to the house. And what happened? Martha was cumbered about with much serving. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know, and I know when I read that story, I'm always sort of inclined to sort of side with Martha. You think, you know, for Pete's sake, they got a dozen guys or more, like at least 13 of them, and probably more. And then your own family yet. You got to get a meal for them. You got to get stuff ready. They need food. They need drink. You know, they need the feet washed. All this stuff to be done. And she's just sitting there. You know, but you see, well, on the one hand, there was a frantic bustling along. And if you read the description of how Martha went about it, you know, she was cumbered about with much serving. Like, she was running back and forth like crazy, trying to get everything just perfect and trying to make sure that everything was just so. And yet, Mary chose the good part. Like, instead of frantically running around, she was having fellowship with the Lord Jesus. She was connecting with him. She was listening to him, sitting at his feet, and taking in what he had to teach. Now, I'm not saying that Martha should have quit everything and sat down too and forgot about the meal. You know, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about the things she was doing. But I think the Lord was talking about the spirit she was doing it in. And I think, you know, she would have probably at that point fitted in 1 Peter there, where, you know, she was showing hospitality, but she was doing quite a bit of grumbling as she was doing it, you know. And the Lord says, well, that's not the way. Mary chose the better part. Mary saw the value in the person that was visiting. Spent time with him, listening to him. You know, and Martha could have been doing the serving, and at the same time had been open to what the Lord was teaching. Had been open to the person that she was entertaining rather than focusing totally on the work that she was doing. You know, and so hospitality, it is about sharing. It's not about showing off. You know, there's nothing wrong with a nice meal. Nothing wrong with a clean house. You know, there's nothing wrong with those things. But if they become the all-important things, and the guests are sort of secondary and they become a nuisance, then I think we've totally, totally missed the point. And I think that's what the Lord was trying to teach us in all these things. You know, to be hospitable is to have a real love and a kindness and a connection with those we entertain. And so, you know, as we entertain other believers, it's really easy, isn't it? There's a lot of things that we share in common. There's a tremendous bond that we have. And in one sense, it's really easy, you know, to serve them and to give them the best that we have. But the same principle applies to those who are not believers, maybe our neighbors, maybe people that aren't even all that nice, you know, like some of our Dutch relatives. You know, the principle behind it is the same. What they are doing, that's their problem, right? How we react to it, that's our problem. And we should have the same love for them. Remember the Israelites of old? They were commanded to love the strangers that were among them. People they didn't know at all. People that just came along. Travelers. People that moved new into the area that didn't know anybody. There's any amount of different scenarios you can come up with of people where we could show them kindness. Just take them in our home. Give them a meal, you know. Help them along their way. Give them a hand with whatever they need. You know, just let go of our own stuff for a while and just share some of the good things that the Lord has given us. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were told their motivation was, first of all, is that the Lord loved those people. Secondly, that they too had received that kind of hospitality in their national past. Well, what about us? Well, we were told that God so loves the world. You know, when Jesus spent time on this earth, he didn't just spend time with the good people, with the people that were likable, the people that were nice to him. He spent time with the prostitutes, with the outcasts of the day, with people that nobody else wanted to bother with. And yet the Lord loved them too. And he went out of his way to spend time with them and showed them God's love so that he could draw them to himself. And many of them responded. So what about us? That should be our motivation as well. Not just that, but if we look at what the Lord has done for us, you know, just look at the temporal blessings he's given us, the homes we live in, you know, like the food we eat, the country we live in. And I realize there's a lot of things in this country that are going the wrong way right now. But it's still a tremendous country to live in. We're still the envy of the world. And we can live there. You know, we're part of it. We have a place to stay here. Most people in the world would give their right arm to be where we are. Right? We've got all this stuff. So why shouldn't we share a bit? You know, and it's not just that. This is only the temporal stuff. You stop for a minute and think of the place that the Lord is preparing for us right now. It took him only 6 days to make this world, and look how beautiful it turned out. You look at the world, you look at the universe. You know, people are still trying to figure out how big it really is and what's all in there. And we've only scratched the surface. Well, he's been preparing a home for us for the last 2,000 years. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? You know, it says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things that the Lord is preparing for us. Tremendous place. You know, in light of that, should it really be so hard to share a bit of what we have here with our neighbors that are less well off than we are, or that are maybe in a bit of trouble? You know, and what are some practical points? Well, you know, people that we invite would gladly eat what we eat. You know, I think some of the best times we've ever had, and I'm not knocking nice meals now. Like, you can tell I've had my share of them. But, you know, some of the best times we've had have been over a bowl of soup. You know, people that just invite you, spur of the moment. Oh, man, come on, we need to get together. Sure, let's do it. Well, having a pot of soup on, great, let's go. You know, really, it's food, right? It's probably more than we need. And that way, you know, there isn't a lot of extra hustle and bustle. You can relax, you can have fellowship together. And again, if people really didn't like it, they'd probably be too polite to say so anyway, so it still wouldn't matter, right? So anyway, just, you know, be spontaneous. Do stuff spur of the moment. Those are often the best times. And I really mean that. You know, if I think back of all the people we've had over, some of the ones that were just totally spontaneous and be some of the best times. I think of one memorable one. We were in Mitchell yet, and we had a small group at the time, and it was maybe a holiday like this. There was a smaller group than usual even, and Mark Otten was sharing. So he stood up, and at the end, just before he called for the preacher, he goes, "Oh, by the way, you're all invited over to Steve and Karen's for dinner." My poor wife just about fell off her chair. And that's all he said about it. And then later on, he says, well, you know, his wife had prepared a fairly big meal too, and he'd bring it over, you know, and we'd take some extra stuff. And it worked out great, you know, like, that was fun. That was a good time, once my wife got over the shock of it. Because we had a good-sized meal already, I think. Maybe we may have even been hosting already. So you usually make a little extra. But, you know, it was just absolutely spontaneous. But it was great. We had a lot of fun. Everybody came over, and everybody later on said to it, that was the neatest thing ever, you know, like just no big preparations or anything. You know, and a lot of times we get way too wound up in this stuff. You know, it can be spontaneous. It could be, we've had people over that dropped by too and visited us. And once a couple with, I forget how many kids they had, it was a good-sized noisy family, but, you know, it got later and later, and they had planned to go to a motel overnight and hadn't thought to reserve one. And when they made a few phone calls, everything was full around here. I says, for Pete's sake, we got a big house, you know, like, we'll throw a few pads on the floor, stay here. And they did. And it was great. You know, at first you think, well, how's this going to work, you know, but it's simple. All you need is a place to sleep, right? And most people in the world sleep in a lot worse places than that. And some of those times have been the best times ever. And I'm not saying we should get sloppy and do it like that all the time and hope it turns out. But you know what I mean? A lot of times we overthink this thing. You look at Scripture. You know, and a lot of times the hospitality that was given was very simple, wasn't it? I think, for instance, of Elisha there. You know, There was this lady, and she noticed them coming through town. And one day she said to her husband, you know what? It'd be neat if we made him a little place so he can stay over. A little room on top of the roof on the wall, right? A bed, a table, a chair, and a lampstand. Just the very, very basics. And what a blessing it was to Elisha. You know, what a reward she got for it. Like, they didn't have children, and the Lord granted them a son as a reward for the kindness that she had shown to a servant of the Lord, right? And later on, when there was a famine in the land and she had to go away, when she came back, Elisha was just there at the right moment, and I'm sure the Lord orchestrated that, and he made sure that she got her home back and her lands back. And not only that, but even the increase, the yield that those things had brought up the time she was gone. You know, a very simple thing. And it sounded like she was a woman of some means. So for her, it would have been a very, very small sacrifice to do that. You look at Elijah with the widow in Zarephath there. What did she have? She had a little handful of flour, a little bit of oil in a jar. That's all she had, you know. And she willingly shared it with Elijah. You know, they lived on that for a long, long time. It's just many days. We don't know how long it would have been, but it might have been years, you know. And as part of her reward, you know, her son got raised back to life. But it was something very, very simple that she had. You know, the Lord talks about it too. And he says, just a cup of cold water and you'll in no wise miss your reward. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be fancy. It can be very simple. You know, we look at some other people in the New Testament that served the Apostle Paul. We think of Gaius of Corinth there. You know, Paul came to Corinth. He was probably one of the first ones that believed, because he was the only one of two households that Paul himself baptized, right? He invited Paul into his home. He was his host many times. As a matter of fact, when Paul wrote the epistle to the Romans, he wrote it from Gaius' place. Not only that, but he hosted the church in his home as well. And no doubt there was many, many other things coming with that. And he did it willingly. He did it out of joy for having come to know the Lord. You know, we think of Philemon. And when Paul writes to him, he tells him that, you know, there's many times that he had refreshed the hearts of the saints, you know. And we don't know what it was, but it might have been something very simple. Just maybe have him in for a meal or overnight. When Paul wrote him, he told him to make sure he had a room ready for him, because he thought he was going to be released soon and he'd like to come stay with him. You know, and he felt comfortable enough that he could just tell him that. You know, he didn't say, well, is it okay if I stay at your place? He said, no, he says, I'm going to be released soon. Make sure you have a room ready, okay? Right, and that's the kind of person Philemon was. He was giving. He was willing to share. You know, we think of Lydia. Remember Lydia? She got saved. And what was the first thing she did? She says, well, you know, if I'm counted worthy in your sight, yeah, please come to my place. I'd love to put you guys up. And at that time, they were total strangers there. And not everybody was friendly toward him. And yet, she put him up. We think of poor Jason. Remember Jason? Paul was staying at his place, and things went wrong. The Jews kicked up a big persecution and got the authorities involved, and, well, couldn't find Paul and Silas, so they arrested Jason. He says, what do you think you're doing harboring these guys, you know? And they demanded security of him so that this uproar would cease. Paul and Silas left, right? But still, Jason willingly did that, even though it cost him something. And there's been many others over the years. I think, for instance, of the last war, when people all over Europe took in the Jews, you know, fed them, gave them a place to hide, gave them a place to sleep, showed hospitality, even though they knew if they were discovered, they would get killed for it. And all through the ages, there have been people like that, that even now there's many places in the world, but if you would harbor a fellow believer, you know, and the authorities would find out, it wouldn't go very well with you. You'd be arrested minimum. And you might even lose your life over it. There are still many places in the world like that. There may be more so now than there have been for a while. So compared to all these people, you know, we've got it pretty soft, don't we? You know, there's no danger in doing it. There's only blessings to be had. So why wouldn't we do it? The Lord has asked us to do it. And you know, once you get into it, it's fun doing it. You get a blessing right now because of it. But moreover, the Lord has promised a reward in heaven if we do it as unto Him. There's a lot more we could say about it, but our time is gone, so just close in a word of prayer then. Our God and Heavenly Father, again, we give thanks, Lord, for this subject that we could look at too. Lord, we thank you for the home that you're preparing for us. Lord, that you loved us when we were unlovable, when we were enemies. Lord, we pray that you would help us to love our neighbors, not just the believers, but our other neighbors as well, those who are not believers yet, so that we can show them the love of God. Lord, we pray that our homes might always be open for whosoever needs a place, that we would always be quick and ready and willing to share what you've given us. Because we realize, Lord, it's only stuff that we borrow for a while, and it all comes from you, Lord. And when we leave this earth, we leave it all behind. Just pray that we might have a generous and willing spirit to be the kind of people you want us to be, that we might do it for your honor and for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.